Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Merry Christmas to everybody. It's good to see you. Welcome to LifeLink, what we call the living room, right?
Absolutely. It's so much fun to have you guys that are here in the auditorium with us. So great to see all of you there in the overflow. I just popped in a moment ago just to see what that experience was like, and you guys were raising the roof in there. It's awesome.
Raising the roof.
Those of you that are in the lobby overflow, our second overflow area, I'm really, really glad you're here as well. And then finally, our online campus. And so, gosh, what a great experience this morning.
Can we in here give everybody out there a big hand? Come on.
Well, isn't it fun to be family together?
So glad to see each and every one of you. And as Pastor Lacey was saying, we've got some fun in store for everybody. But every year, Pastor David and I love to tell one of four stories that we have been rotating for 14 years here at LifeLink Church. And we usually do this with all the kiddos that are in the classrooms to come out, and they come and jump on the stage with us. But because of our social distancing for this season, we are going to invite all the kids to stay right there with your parents. If we have any older kids or baby kids in, well, I'm an older kid. How many of you could say that?
Kids of every age is a good way to say it.
There you go. We're going to just sit right there because we've got a special story. Are y'all ready for story time?
Come on.
All right. The story this year is one of the very first ones that we started with at LifeLink, and it's called The Tale of Three Trees. And Pastor Dave, I am going to do my handheld mic here and turn pages at the same time.
This is going to be really fun to watch.
Right. But what you, all of you big kids out there, as well as all of the ages, can be seeing the pictures on the screen, and we usually have this story, really, it connects with everybody, right, Pastor Dave?
Yes, it does.
Now, if I'm going to read the story, you got to do all the animation.
Well, I'll do my very best. I'm not quite as effervescent as you are, but I'll do my very best.
All right. So, the tale of the tree, the three trees. You may have to turn the pages for me. Oh, there it is. Oh, hold this, please.
Can we just read it?
What am I thinking? I'm used to the kids being right here. That's what it is. So the tale of the three trees. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up.
Ooh.
Very good.
How was that?
The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds above them. I want to hold treasure, he said. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second little tree looked out at the small stream trickling by on its way to the ocean. I want to be a strong sailing ship, he said. I want to travel mighty waters and carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world. The third little tree looked down into the valley below, where busy men and busy women worked in a busy town. I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all, she said. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world.
Wow.
Yes. Years passed and years passed. The rains came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. And one day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. Climb. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, this tree is beautiful. It is perfect for me. And with the swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell.
Timber.
Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest, thought the first tree. I shall hold wonderful treasure. The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, this tree is strong. It is perfect for me. And with a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree fell.
Timber.
Now I shall sail mighty waters, thought the second tree. I shall be a strong ship fit for kings. The third tree felt her heart sink when the last woodcutter looked her way. She stood straight and tall and pointed bravely to heaven. But the woodcutter never even looked up. Any kind of tree will do for me, he muttered. And with the swoop of his axe, his shining axe, the third tree fell.
Oh, no.
The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter shop. But the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold or filled with treasure. He was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were being made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sawed into a simple fishing boat. Too small and too weak to sail an ocean or even a river, he was just taken to a little lake. Every day, he brought in loads of dead, smelly fish.
Ew.
The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumber yard. What happened? The once tall tree wondered. All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point to God. Aw. Many days and nights passed, and the three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in the feed box. I wish I could make a cradle for him, her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. This manger is beautiful, she said. And suddenly the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. And soon a thundering and thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. He knew he did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and the rain. The tired man awakened, and he stood up and he stretched out his hand and he said, "Peace." The storm stopped as quickly as it had begun, and suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the King of Heaven and Earth.
That's amazing.
Chill bumps. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched as she carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong, and every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God.
Wow.
That was better than being the tallest tree in the world. And that's the tale of the three trees.
Wow, what a great story.
I always get kind of choked up at that because it kind of tells us that sometimes we have dreams and we think we know how the plans are going to be made. We think we've got the plan, but really God has the ultimate plan. And even though he gives us dreams within our heart, he knows the ways, and it could be thousands of ways, to get us from A to B to C. And he just knows exactly what we need at the time. So when we're going through some shaping, some sawing, when we're feeling the pain of life, we are being created as we surrender ourselves as like these little trees to him. He shapes us for what he wants us to be used for.
Amen. So Amen. Good.
So, boys and girls, moms and dads, we're all in here. Let's sing one of our Christmas carols together as we move into the next part.
Let's do it based on one of the trees.
Away in the manger, no crib for our bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the
God, we just want to stop for a minute and say thank you for all that's really contained in the story we just read. Such a powerful expression of how you work in the mysteries of our lives. So this morning, God, as we worship you today, we've worshiped you in singing through giving now in the context of how you work in our understanding through even stories and illustrations. Lord, for the next 20 minutes or so, we're asking that you would do the same as we study your scripture and let your creative work move through the power of your written word to cause understanding to come to fruition in our lives. It'll make a real difference. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You know, one of the things that is so symbolic at Christmas is the gifts. And it's interesting how people approach the presentation of gifts. And so we know from our early side of our life experience that there is a lot of fun in receiving gifts and wondering what's in the gift and crowding around a Christmas tree if that was what your family did. For me, growing up as a little guy, my brother and I would spend just about every Christmas in Ohio, which was a long drive from Texas. And we couldn't wait to get up there to Ohio because we knew it was time for Christmas. We'd see all of our family, but deep inside is all about the gifts. And so, especially my grandmother, my grandpa and grandma Wright's house, my dad's mom and dad, we go through this big dinner, and you know, if you're 8 years old, the last thing you want to do is have dinner when there's a Christmas tree in the other room with a bunch of gifts in it, right? So we'd have to do that. All the adults were at one end of the table, and then us kids were at the other end of the table. And so we just like wolfed it down. As soon as amen was done at the prayer, there was like, rah, 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 so hurry up. And it was agonizing to look down the table and see the adults. They would take a bite, and they would sit their fork down and talk. And we're like, why are you talking? There's gifts in there. And finally, they would be finished. And then it was like, my grandmother would always say, would anyone like some pie? I'm like, I like pie, but I don't want pie right now. What I really want is the gift. Of course, all the adults wanted pie. So that was the second round of excruciating waiting and waiting. And finally, at the end of that, everyone would be done with their pie. And she always, she said, would anyone like cream with it? And I don't know why she called ice cream cream, but she wanted to know that. So finally, when all the pie and the cream was done, then we're just about to be ready to leave, because and we could not leave the table until the adults were done eating. So we had to patiently endure that whole experience. Then people start pushing back, and then someone would say, should we wash the dishes first and then enjoy the rest of the night? I was like, no, no. And then, of course, then we'd wash the dishes. And in my grandma's house, there was no dishwasher, which meant there was an assembly line. So all the kids, we had to go through the process of taking the gift, the plates to the counter. And then there were a line of people who would, one would suds, and then one would rinse, and then one would dry, and then one would put them away. It just took, it's like 3 years to get through Christmas dinner to get to the tree. And then finally we'd get there, then my grandpa would say, now let's read the Christmas story. So he'd open his big Bible. And I would feel about like you're feeling right now, like, what's going on? Can't we just get to the gifts? And so finally we'd get to the gifts. And in the early seasons of life, it was just so much fun to hold that gift in your hand and then imagine what's in the gift. And then it was your turn, because we had to do it one at a time. And so I would hold it in my lap, and I couldn't wait. And I'd finally say, okay, Davey, it's your turn. And I'd just tear into it and rip it open. And it was a fun gift of some kind. And it was just so much fun. I loved Christmas. It was just such an exciting experience. And then as I got a little bit older, I started to realize we went through the whole experience again. But as I was tearing into the gift, it was like, it's a cool gift, but it just didn't seem to be quite as fun as I remembered last year. And then I realized year by year by year that the real fun in Christmas is not just getting the gifts. It's part of the fulfillment of that experience is beginning to give the gifts. So then as an adult, then that's the mode that I moved into and found that really the fulfilling part of the gift experience is actually anticipating what is that person like? What's that person want? How do I creatively put this together? And then it becomes about the presentation. So you find the right gift, then you want to present it right. And I learned to love wrapping gifts. And so I figured out a system that you wrap boxes, especially it works well with boxes, and you get it all wrapped up and everything, and then you crease all the edges. So everything is taped and creased, and the box looks crisp. I don't know if I have OCD or not. I'm not going to go there. But I do like really crisp edges on boxes. And so that's fun. And then it's fun to actually watch the person you give the box to as they go through the experience of trying to figure out how can I open this, because I tape everything up. It's so much fun. And so then it takes a minute or two to figure out where to start. And then the experience of watching them receive it. And so today what I wanted to do is spend a few minutes talking about a gift that God wrapped up for us. Because our Heavenly Father, I believe, in a way that is somewhat similar to the way we experience our relationships, approaches us in a very, that relational connection type of way. And so I want to spend just a few minutes really thinking through this with you guys. So Christmas, as you know, by the story we just read, was really God at work doing something far bigger than we'd imagined. So I wanted to spend just a couple minutes unwrapping this idea with you this morning. Because life is actually very real. God is very close. And wherever you are in the season of your current life, especially this year, has been so troubling for so many people. Several of us have family members that are really struggling right now with hardships of different types. There are some family members struggling with relational hardships that we didn't ask for. There are some family members struggling with terminal illnesses that we didn't ask for. There's all of us are struggling through the tensions that our culture has just worked its way through in the year 2020. We didn't ask for that. It just happened. Others of us have just lost family members who stepped through the veil between this life and eternity. And you're never really ready for that, even though you have a relationship with God and there's the promise of eternal life. You're never really ready for that either. And so what I want to do this morning is talk to you today about the gift that God gave us for what we call Christmas, but really was his work, his love at work in our life. And I want to do this in a way that is perhaps a tiny bit different than you might imagine us to work through. So let's just pause just for a quick second. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to tune our hearts now to his scriptures. And let's spend about the next 5 or 10 minutes working our way through his scripture to hear him talk to us right where we are. Father, thank you for your goodness. As we've already done, Lord, through the first part of our journey, we're asking you by the work of the Holy Spirit now to tune our hearts and our minds to you in your scripture. Lord, we don't want to just pursue ideas and entertain one another with creative context. We want to actually meet you in the pages of your Bible. Let you speak to our heart, transform us into new people by changing the way we think through the power of your word. And I ask, Lord, that that experience is had by us in this auditorium, thus in our overflow, those of us in our overflow environments, those of us who are streaming the service in our online campus, that wherever we happen to be, we are right where you knew we'd be at this moment. And as we unwrap this gift today, I'm asking you would cause our minds to weather vane right into who you are. So we don't just rush by the moment, but we hear and sense and feel you today. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So in God's Bible, he's revealed himself to be our Father, our Heavenly Father, who created all of us. Without going through thousands of pages of Bible to talk about the whole story, at the very beginning of that experience, mankind fell away from God through the expression of sin, which separated us from God relationally. God actually went through several seasons of history preparing to actually make a solution in the form of salvation for us to be redeemed and brought back into relationship with God. So to God, who is our creator, the most precious thing of all is our relationship with him, which can only be facilitated by what he gave us in his son, Jesus Christ. So what I want you to do is imagine God preparing to wrap a gift for us that we then would begin to unwrap and experience and be drawn back into a fresh relationship with him, or a fresh appreciation, I should say, of that relationship that we have with him. So this morning I realize I may be talking to 2 or 3 different categories of folks. There's some people who really are walking in a really close relationship with God right now. There are others who are familiar with it, that relationship, but it feels more like a religious kind of tone in life. And there are others who acknowledge that there is a religious idea, but it's really not close at all to your particular interest. You're just here today, and we're really glad you're here. But I do want you to know that wherever you happen to be at in those experiences, that God has a gift for you. Because whether you're walking closely with him right now, or whether you're familiar with him but not doing so, or even if you're a little bit alienated from him and a little somewhat dismissive of him, he still loves you and knows exactly where you are in life. And so this morning, instead of just rushing by this idea, I want to help you see how God wrapped a gift for you that will make a difference for you. So in the next few minutes, just listen carefully. In the New Testament book of Philippians, I want to read 3 verses of scripture and then pull a couple of points out. It starts out by the initial application is the Apostle Paul is writing to this group of Christians, and he's explaining to them about the relationships they have with each other, and he says, here's how your relationship should work. They should be based on what God did for us. So that's the kind of the jumping off point. Here's what we see in Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 in the NIV reads this way: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So it's a relationship instruction, but now listen to what Jesus did, and that's really the point for our application today. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. So he's saying he's God, but he's not going to make his decisions based on what would benefit him the most as God. Rather, verse 7 says this: he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So this is where I want you to imagine and see the connection that, of what we're seeing in Scripture with the context of what we celebrate as Christmas. So we celebrate as Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. But this particular vantage point gives us some of the behind the scenes of what God was really up to. Where he said, here's what's going on. My son Jesus Christ is going to, I'm going to give him as the sacrifice for you. And that's what we celebrate on Easter, the resurrection of Christ. But the first part of that is him stepping away from what he rightfully has a right to be and experience as God. So he's going to step away from that and then become human. So when we celebrate God being born in the form of a baby, I want you to see where God is saying, I am God, but I'm coming into the experience that you have. And the gift that is beginning to give you is I want you to know that when I'm giving you instructions about how to live life, how life is created to work, that you don't think I'm just standing up here in heaven shouting meaningless instructions at you that don't relate to where you are. I want you to know I actually came into that experience and lived that experience with you. Does that make sense? So in this beautiful gift, one of the gifts he's saying is I relate to the struggles of life. I'm not just sitting up in the palaces of heaven in all of its grandeur, looking at you poor pitiful people struggling through life, shouting meaning instructions that you think I just want for me that don't mean anything for you. I want you to know I actually left all of this and I took the form that you have as human and I went through that experience with you. So he was born as a baby, and then the experience he lived through in life, he lived a sinless life, experiencing all the turmoil, all the temptation, all the struggles, all the rejection, all the alienation, all the letdowns. He experienced everything that we experienced, but he did so in a sinless manner, which means he went through all of those experiences but never sinned. And that's really, really important because he did that in his human form. He wasn't simply just God. He was human. Does that make sense? So he says, I'm going to live your life. I'm going to live your experience. But I'm going to withstand all the temptations through the power of the Holy Spirit like I'm going to show you how to do. But I'm going to do this in a way that gives you the gift of something else. Then he actually, the scripture says, he submitted, he humbled himself to becoming obedient even to death, which means he died on Calvary's cross. And that was, we saw all three of those expressions in the tale of three trees. His birth as an infant, the miraculous expressions of what he did in his life, his sinless life that he was living on our behalf. Then even when he took the step of dying in our place to pay for sin's price, he actually did that for us as well. Then he was raised to life again, demonstrating his power over sin and death. And then he wrapped all of that up and said, now here's who I am. Here's what I've done. Here you go. He said, I'm going to give you new life. But it's not an unrelatable set of a list of do's and don'ts and instructions. I want you to know I have come into that experience. I've lived that experience, and so you can trust the directions I'm giving you. Listen to how he wrapped this up as a gift to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in Amplified reads this. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, who is the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, which is the previous moral and spiritual condition, the old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. I'm going to spend just a couple minutes talking through that verse. He's saying this. Here's the gift. If you open your mind and open your heart and receive who I am as your Redeemer and what I've given you, which is relationship with God through what I did, if you do that, you, in a way that you don't really understand completely, but you are transformed into a new creation. And there is a part of you that is old. your moral condition, that separatedness, that the propensity towards sin that you cannot escape from, all those things. He said that condition is old, it's passed away. And in its place, now that we're in relationship with each other, you are actually new. I'm giving you the gift of new. I'm giving you the gift of new. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So I just want to pause just for a moment and speak to, I'm not sure who this is, but you're in this room, you're in our overflow rooms, you're in the online campus, you're watching this later. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit brought you up here at this moment. To us that are experiencing this real time, this is December the 20th, 2020. And I want you to know that God met you here today to say that there's a part of you that desperately wants to feel new again. And I want you to know that in Christ, that's the gift. There's someone, or perhaps multiple people in here today, who feel so used, so abused, so hurt, so overlooked, so worn down, so hopeless, that on the outside you're running out of energy trying to keep the look of it looking right. But on the inside, if truth be known, you're exhausted. And what you really want more than anything is hope and new. So this Christmas, what I wanted to do is just take the moment to say that God brought you into this experience this morning to say that He's wrapped this gift called new life up just for you. And He took great joy in preparing the experience, watching through history as all the pieces came together, watching the expression of what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross, watching all of those things, participating in that process relationally with Christ and the Holy Spirit, so that when you actually hear this morning, what you don't hear is, here's how to join a religion or join a church, or here's how to add 10 lists of things to do and not do anymore. But God wants you to know, here's what I have for you. I have new and fresh for you. New and fresh for you. I'm almost done. You got a couple more minutes in you? Listen to what God tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, New Living Translation. God wanted them to know the riches and the glory of Christ for all of you who are Gentiles too. Give me just a moment here. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. Gentile is a category of person who's a non-Jew. So I don't know if you're a Jew or not. I'm not. Gentile applies to most of us. Spiritually, it's those that are separated and far from God. But he's basically saying, God wanted you to know the riches and glory of Christ are for you too. And this is the secret. This is the gift. This is what's in the wrapping of all that God did for us. That Christ lives in you, which gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. So there's something that happens to us when we actually receive the gift that God's given us. I want you to think of it this way. That when we accept Christ as God, yield our life to his authority and begin to follow Jesus as our Savior and Lord. The Bible is clearly saying there's two things that happen. Number one, we are engrafted into him. I want you to see that this morning. When we receive him, we don't just say thank you, but spiritually and very experientially, we are actually connected in him and we begin to live our life in Christ. In the same measure, he lives in us. So we are in him and he is in us. Why does that matter? This is something I'm hoping that these last 20 minutes of context will help you actually be able to perceive and receive in a way that makes a difference. Because one of the ways that our spiritual adversary is successful in causing us to really struggle in life is by reminding us about all the pain of life, all the sin in life. And perhaps people don't know most of your sin. But I'll tell you who does. That's your adversary, and he reminds you of it all the time. So sometimes when we hear about what God has done for us, we think, oh, that's good for people who are good people, but I'm not a good person. Pastor Dave, you just don't know what's really on the inside of me. In fact, I don't want anybody to ever know what's on the inside of me. Here's what I want you to know this morning. God is bringing you a gift, and that is this. What he did for you when he actually came to live in human form, he was born a baby. He lived that sinless life. He did miracles demonstrating who he was. He died on Calvary's cross to pay for the penalty of sin that separates us. And then he says, now, all you need to do to get the benefit of this is acknowledge, receive, repent and receive. Which means, God, I acknowledge that you are who you say you are. And you did what you said you came to do. I'm repenting, which means I'm turning away from a life of sin and turning my life over to you. And I'm opening my heart to start a relationship with you and receive you into my life. In that moment, here's what happens. The Bible says we are born again. And the gift that God gives us is multifaceted. And I'm only talking about just a couple of facets of it today. One of this is eternity in relationship with God. But here's the other facet I want to talk to you about. When the Bible says that we're engrafted in Christ, here's actually what that means. He lived his life sinlessly on your behalf. So that when he died and was resurrected, the penalty of your sin was actually paid for. But then he said, I want you to know that I don't want you to live like just a person who's been forgiven. I want you to live free of the burden of sin. So you're going to live in me. I lived a sinless life for you. So when your accuser says, remember the time, what you say then is, I don't have to remember that anymore. I live in Christ. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit open your understanding and give you the ability to receive that, it's like stepping through a waterfall of grace. Every time you feel overwhelmed with guilt, you just step through the waterfall of grace and say, nope, I'm cleansed, I'm in Christ. Does that make sense? Maybe you've not been to a point in life where that seems appealing to you. If you haven't been there yet, your day is coming. All of us need to know what it's like to feel the gift of new in Christ. But it's more than just new in him. He says, I'm actually going to be new in you. You're going to become new. So the gift this morning that I want to share with you and unwrap today, we're almost done, is when we celebrate the birth of Christ, it's far more than just Jesus came as a baby so he could live a sinless life and die to pay for my sins. He says, my life is a gift to you. And I lived that life in your place. So that when you receive me, you actually get the benefit of a sinless life. What that means is you don't have to carry the guilt of condemnation anymore. How do we know that? Because here is the last sentence, the last scripture for this morning. Romans 8, chapter 1. NIV, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Perhaps you're listening this morning here in the auditorium or in the overflow areas or in the online campus. I don't know where you are in your own journey through life. Maybe you don't feel overwhelmed by the burdens of the results of sin. But one of the gifts that God has wrapped up for you this morning is not simply salvation, although that sounds terrible to say simply salvation. Salvation is everything. But in addition to that wonderful gift of salvation, he's actually saying, I want to give you the gift of living a guilt-free life. I want you to receive it's like a sunrise of grace and hope beginning to dawn on you. That in me, you can have access to my sinless life. In other words, the stretch and the grip of guilt does not have to stay anymore. Do you follow that? So that as the sunrise of hope and grace begins to emerge in your spirit, you let the Lord lift the burden of that guilt off of you. And right wherever you are this morning, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit orchestrated this moment just for you. I don't know where you are, ma'am. Sir, I'm not sure exactly where you're at in this moment. What I do know is that God is giving you a gift. And there are some of you right now listening, wherever you are. Maybe you're in this auditorium. Maybe you're in the overflow areas. You're in the online campus. But you're so crushed by this, you've actually considered stopping the very expression of life. But God's giving you a gift this morning of hope, grace, and says, I paid the price for you, not just to go to heaven, but to live the rest of your life unburdened from guilt and condemnation. And all that's necessary for you to do is receive who I am, Jesus is saying to you this morning. What I did when I was born as a baby, I did that for you. I lived a sinless life. I did that for you. I died on Calvary's cross. I did that for you. I was raised again into life to demonstrate power over death, hell, and the grave. I did that for you. I did all of that, not just so you get to go to heaven, but you can start a relationship with our Father. And in me, step away from the grip, the vice grip of guilt, and condemnation. Listen one more time to the gift that God's given us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and I'm just about done. Therefore, in other words, as a result, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So for Christmas this year, God has given you the gift of no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. So right where you are, I want to just pray over you this morning, and then we're going to be done. But listen to this life-saving promise. If you'll open your mind, open your heart to who Jesus is and what he did for you, you receive it. Jesus says that actually causes you to start the process of living in me and me in you. And in that context, you don't have to carry guilt or condemnation any longer. And if you're ready to say yes to that gift, I'm going to ask you to just kind of close your eyes wherever you are. I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. And all I'm doing really is giving your mouth words to say that your heart's already saying. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus and start that relationship this Christmas, let's make 2020 Christmas the year you see it clearly. And say yes to Jesus in a way that changes your life and life experience forever. Let's pray. Say this after me. Heavenly Father. Come on, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross, to live a sinless life, even to come as a brand new baby, to live your life for me. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you would wash me, cleanse me, and make me brand new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you, to live in you, and you in me from this day forward. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.